Our Bible reading today comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, the temptation of Jesus. Reading from the New Living Translation. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone." Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. "I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them," the devil said, "because they are mine to give anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me." Jesus replied, "The scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word.
Shall we pray? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Do you know, over the course of my ministry, and you can see by my beard and my grey hair, it's been a few years now, there are some passages that I've preached on more than others, some passages of scripture that challenge me more than others, and some passages that it depends where I am in my life and what's happening around me that speaks more to me than others. And that's, I think, the journey of faith. I don't think that, if I'm honest, if I look back and beside me and on my shoulder there's files of old sermons from distant past before I computerized them, or if I went onto the computer in front of me to check old sermons and I typed in Luke 4, 1 to 13, I don't think I would have sermons that all said the same thing, because that's not how preaching works, and that's not how God works, or at least not with me. He speaks to us in our time, in our place, in our situation, and his word speaks to address these times and places and situations. And so I look at Luke 4, 1 to 13. And there's some times in my life, if I have been down or sad or hurt, it says one thing. Or if I'm relaxed and happy, it says something else to me. And I suspect this year, looking at it, I can understand a different perspective of the temptations of Jesus. Do you know, I loved the Harry Potter books. Now, I know witchcraft was of late, and I know there are some people in churches around the world who would think it's horrible to read anything like that. But when my son was young, we used to, as a family, buy the book, and I would read the entire book out loud to my wife and son. And we would possibly read it all in a week, with me doing the different voices and just enjoying the story. It was great fun. There's an image, and if you've not read the book, it's also in the movies. There's an image after a battle where Harry Potter is thought to have died. and he ends up in a sort of afterlife. An afterlife where he meets his old headmaster who died if the film before or the book before. And they're having a conversation. And it's a striking imagery in the movies, and in the book it's probably a wee bit more meaningful. But in that point, at one point at the end of this conversation, Harry Potter says to Professor Dumbledore, "All of this is in my head, isn't it? It's not real." And Dumbledore, and I'm not quoting, I'm paraphrasing, says, "Of course it's in your head, but that doesn't mean it's not real." And I like to think of that when I'm reading this story of Jesus tempted in the wilderness. Because if I go back and look at my earlier sermons, I suspect I will have preached that this was a physical encounter in the desert. But maybe, just maybe, it happened in Jesus' mind. I've no doubt he was in the wilderness. He had to have time after his baptism, because it says Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan. We're linking this event to Jesus' baptism, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was taken to the wilderness because, hey, what happened to him at his baptism? The Spirit arrived in the form of a dove, the voice from the heaven, the cloud, "This is my own dear son." He needed time to process that. Jesus, of course, knew he was the Son of God. Jesus, of course, knew, as being fully God, what was happening. But as fully man, he needed time to put it together. He needed time to pray and to charge the batteries, as it were, in preparation for what was to follow his ministry and ultimate death. And so he's taken into the wilderness, as throughout his life he went to pray alone. Last week, in many churches, we looked at the story of the Transfiguration, where Jesus left his disciples and went up a mountain, not on his own, but with his closest friends. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he took his friends and then went further into the garden on his own. He often went out on his own to pray. And so at the start of his ministry, after the Holy Spirit had filled him with power, maybe that's not a good phrase, because as the Son of God, he was already filled with power. But at the start of his ministry, Jesus went to pray. We hear that for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Now, when I look back over my years of looking at this passage, I often suggest that this was chronological. That after 40 days he was tempted because he hadn't eaten anything. This was a time of fasting, a time of thinking, and only when he was weak did the devil come. But do you know, I'm not sure that there's a chronological order. These are things that happened during the 40 days. And I don't know about you, but I don't know if I would last 4 days without food, yet alone 40. And so I would be weak. I would succumb. My mind would be wandering, perhaps. And there is a challenge. Now, when I say that this might have happened in Jesus' mind, I'm not in any way denying a personal evil, the devil. The Bible seems to me clear to suggest that there is such a being. But I'm also not thinking that this devil stood in front of Jesus with forked tail and pitchfork and glowing red. This was an encounter, as the devil works in the minds of people. Or at least, at this point in my journey of life, I believe that. And in these 40 days, while he was weak, the devil was tempting him. If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. The devil, you know, he tempts us, doesn't he? He tempts us with our needs and our desires. To a hungry man, he tempts him with food. I wonder what he's tempting you, and wonder what he's tempting me with, our desires that need fulfilled, or at least he thinks that can be fulfilled. Jesus' response, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. What wonderful retort. What a wonderful comeback. It's not, clear off, devil. It's not, I'm doing this to worship God. Yes, I know I'm hungry, but, and he quotes from Deuteronomy 8, chapter 3, man shall not live by bread alone. Wow. And then the next temptation that we have is another human weakness that the devil tries to find and to prize open. And that's the desire for power and authority. We see that all around the world. We've seen that in the history pages of people trying to rise up, people trying to show and exert power over others in communities and countries in the world. Don't we think that Putin just now is one such person whose actions are to show his power, not the power of the Russian people, who I suspect many are against the war, but to show his power, a wee man made powerful by situations, a wee man that's trying to make himself seem big. And it's really quite sad. And so Jesus, the Son of God, is tempted. I will give you all the authority and splendor, says the devil, taking Jesus to a high point and showing him the kingdoms of the world. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will be yours. You know, there's something in that temptation that always concerns me. And I suppose this is the temptation of authority and power. The devil, you see, believed that he had the authority and the power, that all that was in front of him was his, that he could give it away. I believe God is in control. I believe God has the authority. But if you worship me, it will all be yours. You know, life is about power and authority and influence, and many people are struggling to try and get it or hold on to it or exert it over others. Jesus responds, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. In other words, the one with real power is God. And then Luke takes us in the final of these temptations. And folks, these temptations must have been shared by Jesus to his friends. Jesus, in one of these journeys in the campfire at night as they were making their way here, there, or wherever, must have told people about it. Because he was led alone into the wilderness. Nobody else witnessed this. And Luke takes the story of being taken to Jerusalem, standing at the highest point of the temple, probably the biggest building that anyone in the area could consider. And he says, throw yourself off from the tower, for it is written. And the devil quotes scripture, is that not the truth? The scripture is not just used by holy, loving people. The scriptures are used, and we've seen that in the pages of history, by those who would corrupt it, bend it, and twist it. And Jesus says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. You know, the devil wasn't defeated at that point. The devil came back, and the devil continues to come back. So what do we learn from this encounter? Well, for me, I learned that to be tempted is not a sin, because Jesus was pure and holy but was tempted. I learned that the devil tries to find our weak spots, our desires, our willingness to be, to do and to gain authority over others. And for people of faith, the devil wants to challenge that and make you question it. And how to defeat the devil? Through God's word. It's as simple as that. And I suspect in all these sermons that I've preached over all these years, I usually finish with that word. A word of God. A word of peace. A word of hope. A word of strength. Jesus said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Man shall not live by bread alone. Worship the Lord and serve only him. Good instructions for us all. Amen.